on Hard Facts. I don't just bring you the news, I bring you the newsmakers.
Consul General of the U.S. Consul General in Lagos, giving her first ever interview in Nigeria. Claire Pierangelo.
They come to me because they know Lagos is listening.
I love the way you engage Nigeria, especially with these people who are called to supremacist Nigeria. They still be among Nigerians than you and
I. We talk to the newsmakers.
The Special Assistant to the President on Digital and New Media, Tolu Ogunlesi. Frank Mba has just walked into the studio. Yawande Sadiku. Yawande is the Executive Secretary of NIPC, the Nigeria Investment Promotion Council. The Senior Special Assistant to President Muhammadu Buhari on Public Affairs, Mr. Ajuri Ngelale.
We talked to captains of industry.
She's the founder and CEO of Tomato Joss, one of Nigeria's biggest agro-industrial businesses. Her name is Mira Mehta. He's been selected for Forbes 30 Under 30. His name is Ineoluwa Aboyeji.
We talked to the experts.
He's the chief economist at Business Day. He's a big friend of the show. Don't so be clean.
He's the head of the Department of Molecular Biology and Biotechnology at the Nigerian Institute of Medical Research, NIMR. Dr. Bamidele Walofo.
And we talk to you.
I found Mr. Usman through Hard Facts. He's a listener. He sent us a WhatsApp message when we were talking about the scanners at the port.
Give me your afternoon and I'll give you the answers.
Will the current Electoral Act Amendment Bill improve or worsen elections? We're talking electoral reform today because the National Assembly right now is considering a bill to amend the Electoral Act. It brings us to our big hard fact for today. The Electoral Act is the law which empowers INEC and defines how INEC should run its elections. So if you want better election rules, the one place to start, one of the places to start is the Electoral Act. But this latest attempt to do this has stirred some controversy. The proposed language that came out of committee in the Senate has banned electronic transmission of results. The proposed amendment. Now, this bill is very important to all our futures. If you want better governance, you need elected officials who feel that they are accountable. And to get accountable officials, you need free, fair, and credible elections where the people can hire and fire them. And to get free, fair, and credible elections, you need to reform the process by fixing INEC and other stakeholders. And it all starts with the Electoral Act. Joining us to talk about this, the amendment bill, the act itself, to talk about electoral reform, is a co-founder of YAGA. YAGA is the Youth Initiative for Advocacy, Growth, and Advancement. Did I get that wrong? No? I saw you shaking your head.
Just YAGA Africa.
Okay. So you don't go with that anymore. All right. So it's just YAGA Africa now. Well, she's the co-founder at YAGA. She's also their program manager. Her name is Cynthia Mbamalo. Cynthia, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on your show. Good evening.
Good evening. And Lagos, we want to hear from you as well. What do you think about the Electoral Act Amendment Bill? What questions do you have for Cynthia Mbamalo? Women, call me on 01465-7190. Men, call me on 0700-993-993-993. Cynthia, before we get into the Electoral Act Amendment itself, let's talk about the ongoing continuous voter registration exercise. I'm sure that YAGA is watching it closely nationwide. What's your assessment of it so far?
Yeah. Well, I think so far, so at first, we were supposed to commence both the online pre-registration and the physical biometric capture together. Mm-hmm. However, the Electoral Commission had released its schedule and had informed Nigerians that would commence with the pre-registration on the online portal, and then the physical would commence July 19th, so that's actually next week, Monday. Mm-hmm. And I think so far, it's interesting to see how a lot of citizens are engaging the platform, especially first-time voters. Mm. And I must say that it's been quite impressive to see the number of citizens just engaging the online portal. Mm-hmm. I hope that INEC could deepen technology because we see that with more technology deployed in the process, there's more interest and likelihood for especially young Nigerians to engage that particular process. Because if you look at the data, you actually have students students are based on the breakdown from INEP, we have more students registering, which shows that you have younger people. Mm-hmm. And then also when they did the age breakdown, mm-hmm. I think the July 5th was the July 5th breakdown. Mm-hmm. It showed that young people between 18 and 34 were the larger percentage who had signed up or who had commenced the process online. Mm-hmm. So I think that for me is impressive. I just hope that a lot more Nigerians who take advantage of this opportunity, commence registration online. And once the commission begins, because once you register, you're given a date, an appointment date for the biometric capture. Mm. Once the process begins at the centers, we need to just go and complete that so that we don't just do the online and then think we're done.
Physical one.
Until you have your PVC. Mm-hmm. Until you have your PVC, you're not fully registered. So this is the first step for those who have commence the process well. But you need to ensure you go out once the process begins for the full biometric capture and then subsequently collect your permanent voter's card.
By the way, if you're wondering where it is that you should go and register, if you're a first-time voter, if you just turned 18, if you've never voted before, cvr.inecnigeria.org. So C for cat, V for violent, R for radio.inecnigeria.org. It's one word, so don't space anyone. So cvr.inecnigeria.org. INEC, of course, is INEC, then Nigeria, NIGERIA.org. cvr.inec.org. Now, there's been some opinion that so far online registration numbers have been fairly low. Do you agree with that assessment? And if you do, what do you think about those who say that improving the process for offline registration would be a more significant reform?
So I think, you know, with the vibe and the momentum from the NSAS protest, we have a lot of expectations that we really need to channel all this anger and frustration into the process where we can change the outcome of elections and change our leaders and begin to register to vote. And with the percentage of young people in Nigeria, it's projected that young people are about 60% of Nigeria's population. It's expected that a larger percentage of this chunk of young persons, this population, would engage even more than the older generation. So yes, we were expecting to see a lot more numbers. However, because I know how Nigerians are, some of us, we like to wait till the last minute, right? And then we adopt the fire brigade approach. I think that is one. The other thing is a lot, when you do a breakdown, that even within the youth demography, there's a percentage who may not be familiar with
the internet
and how to do online registration.
Right.
And I'll just give a simple example. So, Yaga Africa, we deployed a team to go to communities within where our office is in Gwarinfa, Abuja, to register people. And as we were, the team went out, we had young people who were coming. I mean, they saw the CVR and they said, oh, they didn't know how to go about it, to go online to do the registration. So they found that quite helpful. And some of them are in under 30-year-olds, under 35-year-olds rather. And that was helpful. You also had a challenge of those who said they never had an email address. And you know, to register, you need to create
you
an account.
You need an email,
So what the team had to do was first help them create an email, open an email account, and then commence it. So it made it a bit, it prolonged the process. But those are, it just showed that, yes, this is it's an innovative approach to get more people to register, but we don't have as many people that we were expecting to have. And I know a lot of people will still wait for the physical process to engage that particular process. But I think for young persons, you can actually help people to conduct their registration as long as you're not charging them money to do that, because we don't want people to start exploiting Nigerians, right? But just learning from what we're our experience, just going out Friday, Saturday to communities within where our office is located and helping people, we can see that some of these young persons. Yes, they just wanted someone to help them do that. Interestingly, some had issues with data, so we had to provide internet for people. So you just, okay, come in and you log on to our internet. So you also had people who said, I want to do this, but I don't have the data to do that. So I was waiting for the business. And I'm like, if you give internet now, we do it too. And I say, oh, is that all? Okay, here's the password. So I think, this is just from little engagement within Barifa, Abuja. So I think this may also extend to other
organizations, other opinion leaders and things like that. Okay. I mean, if everybody plays their part, we could have even more people registering. Okay. Let's talk about the amendment bill itself now.
Especially for women.
Now, first of all, we're going to talk about the issue that grabbed a lot of headlines, right? Electronic transmission of results. First of all, I have to ask, Cynthia, are you for or against electronic transmission and why?
I am for electronic transmission. Why first? I believe in the need to continually look for how to continually deploy technology to deepen integrity in the process. I don't think technology answers all our questions or solves all our problems, but I believe that if you deploy technology, it actually complements the system and it can enable or enhance integrity in the system. So yes, I believe in electronic transmission result for that. The second also is that we've seen it work as an observer group with deployed elections. And we've seen INEC test electronic transmission of results from polling unit level to the results portal. We saw that work in Edo and Ondo. And we also realized that citizens, there was a tendency to accept the outcome of an election because people felt that we knew the results announced was a reflection of the vote cast because we were tracking the polling level results you get. So I see it work, and I think it promotes confidence in the process. It gives voters that sense of agency over the process. So they are following through with the results to the last point. And it also inspires confidence in candidates because you can have your own copies of polling level results and do your independent collation. And then I think lastly, the power of oversight gives the Electoral Commission at the national level the power to oversight the transmission of the results from poll unit level, and they can actually identify where there was a flaw or there was fraud and what have been the process of condition. So yes, I'm in support of the transmission of results. I do not think, I'm in support of it, not as a substitute for the manual, but as a complementary process, because sometimes it benefits in having that paper trail.
Okay.
And learning from the Kenyan experience, I think in deploying technology, what we've seen in other countries is they do not have technology as a substitute for the manual. Usually it's a complementary process, but it's important to have it legalized so that you can rely on the data from that process in court to challenge the outcome of an election.
Now, I like how you say we should have both as complementary. I worry that, once you begin to talk about still having the paper one, it allows people to argue that, if you still think that the paper one is necessary, then perhaps we should just do it by paper only. Why do you still need to insist that we should electronically do it as well?
Well, it's almost like the accreditation process, the use of the smart card reader. Using the smart card reader did not mean we do it with the voters register. For those who have voted before, you remember if you go to the polling units, they would check your PVC. They see the manual process of confirming your details in the voters register, even after the smart card reader verifies your PVC and authenticates your fingerprint. There is still that option to tick. There's still that column where they have to tick that you actually were accredited.
But isn't that cumbersome? So, shouldn't we do away with that?
So now the thing is, because for the registration process, or rather for the accreditation process, and because at the moment you don't have a centralized database of voter register where you'd be like, I'm in Kogi, I return in Kogi. If I'm in Lagos, I can vote regardless. Mm-hmm, you still need to transfer. Because on election day, smart card readers are configured to polling units. Your register, the register given is given for the polling unit. So registers are distributed at polling unit level. So whatever is happening is location specific. Until we get to that point where we probably have like a centralized database. And when we get to that point, we would know, because then we wouldn't be required to transfer our register of voters. Mm-hmm. And so at the moment, this is what we have. And it's not just an INEC issue. It's a national issue in the sense that, I mean, we don't even know how many we are in the country, right? We don't have a national database of citizens. So INEC may even be the one institution that has a reasonably comprehensive database of citizens, at least once you're 18, if you want to think about it. Most other institutions may have, and that's what the NIN was trying to do. So, like I said, it's a broader conversation. Mm-hmm. Now, why I think you don't want to substitute immediately, is because this would be a trial. So the proposal in the electoral law, we're pushing for, was to give INEC the power to transmit results. And then INEC can commence that process. And subsequently, when we have a more, when we've tested it nationally, subsequently we can phase out the manual
the paper version.
Mm-hmm. So we do not want to, and if you followed, like most people will always make reference to the Kenyan situation, we don't want to run into that case where you're going to court and then the court is asking for, okay, where's the paper trail to confirm some of these figures, and you don't have that, because you also need to think about the legal system that we operate in our judicial system. So if, with all of this in context, I know it's like, you know, with all of this in context, it's always it's always good to be like, okay, yes, we're transmitting this. For me, hopefully in the next two electoral cycle, we can do away with the paperwork, and we just, you know, move straight from polling units and everyone can view it. But what I'm hoping for is that the transmission will be done in such a way that it's even in machine readable format, because what we did in Edo and Ondo, right, that was INEC, was polling unit level result. The Z-pad tablet was they would use it to take a picture and upload on the platform. So when you go to the INEC results portal, what you see is the result sheet. So it's not even easy to analyze. You have to download and do all of that. What where I'm hoping would get to is the point that it is the upload is done in a machine readable format. You can easily download and analyze in near real time, you know, and it's faster for whoever wants to rely on that data to do that. So it's not a perfect, we're not at the perfect level yet. We are where I think the commission, we're confident that the commission can do in deploying national development and a national transmission of electoral results. And our citizens actually want this.
It's interesting that you say that citizens actually want this, because in the version of the amendment bill that emerged from committee in the Senate, electronic transmission is disallowed. Cynthia, how did this happen?
Well, I think we have some lawmakers who are major threat to our democracy, our citizens' sense of responsibility, because there is one thing to seek for new ways to strengthen our processes to support our journey to democratic development. It's another thing to want to retain the old system that benefits or that enables manipulation and fraudulent activities in the electoral process. And I believe that any lawmakers who are against this transition of results are individuals who are first worried that if polling unit level results are transmitted, then all their plans and strategies to manipulate the process would be wasted or would have no effect, because then they wouldn't be able to do that. So that for me is what I believe. These lawmakers, for those of them who worked on this, I want to believe it wouldn't be all of them. But for those who had who worked together, connived to manipulate the particular provision and prohibit this outrightly, they obviously did not understand that our democracy needs to progress beyond what it is, that our elections need to be more credible, and that they should vote in line with citizens' interests, not with their personal political interests. Mm. And what we're seeing now is a conflict between political interests and national interests. And in a sane climb, when there is a conflict between personal and national interests should supersede. And I'm hoping that that will be the case this time around. And I think I'll just give a simple example, because one of the things we saw in Edo and Ondo was citizens could go online and download their polling level results. People were downloading it and calculating themselves at home. This is what our LGA is supposed to have. Mm-hmm. If we have all this, you know? Mm-hmm. And what this did was, if you're manipulating anything at the collation level, if you change the result at what collation, it would, we can identify that, because the polling unit level results and their purest form, most times voters stay back, count and wait.
Wait
until they move with it.
Right.
So it's at the purest form. We expect that if Party A had 20-20-20 in 5 polling units, at the coalition level, Party A should have 100 votes from that local government with those 5 polling. But if all of a sudden Party A has less and Party B has more, when that was the case, you then know something happened, and then you can begin to ask questions. What happened here? Now, that for me is power. Now, that gives voters power over the process.
And this is the power that some lawmakers want to take away.
That is what they want to do away with that. I think that is where their major fear is, that they're giving people a lot of power over the process and all their plans to fraudulently manipulate the process in the next elections
is about to go up in smoke. Lagos, join the conversation. 0700-993-993-993 for men, for women, 01465-7190. What do you think about the Electoral Act Amendment Bill? What questions do you have for Cynthia Mbamalu? We've got 2 minutes before we have to take a break, so I can take 2 calls, 60 seconds each. Hello, how are you?
Sandra, how are you?
Hi.
Yeah, I just want to say this. You see, there were no planes before there were planes. I mean, aeroplanes. Mm. There were no planes before. So we should not be so fearful of technology.
Okay.
We should even try and venture into it. And a lot of our people, especially those who are in position of making laws, they seem not to understand how technology works.
Okay.
There is no system that is foolproof. And every technological advancement, especially with communication, right, has a paper backup. There is always a paper, even processes in the bank, all these processes that banks do on it, there is always a paper backup. It's just that you don't get to see the paper. So it's not as if we are scrapping paper entirely. Retail chains, ordinary retail chains, they use technology that is by far more sophisticated than all of these things that we are talking about. I'm talking of retail chains like any of these. Think of any of these shops abroad. You understand? They use technology that is by far more sophisticated than all these things. I don't know why our people are pretending. I don't think they are entirely ignorant. I think our people, especially at the National Assembly, they are pretending. As if this thing is so dangerous, it can kill everybody.
Thank you for calling us. 99.3.
Hello.
Hi, what's your name?
Good afternoon, Sandra.
Good afternoon, what's your name?
My name is Wisdom. I'm calling from Alimosh.
Wisdom, you've got 1 minute.
Okay, actually, I wanted to ask your guest, you know about people in diaspora, how would they vote in this coming election?
People in diaspora?
Nigerians in diaspora.
Okay. How will Nigerians in diaspora vote? Now, that's a question that Cynthia will answer when we come back from the break. I don't think it's covered by the electoral amendment, but we'll see what Cynthia says after the break. If you just tuned in, Lagos, you're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Today's big hard fact is that the Electoral Act is the law that empowers INEC and defines how it should run elections. And my question is, will the current Electoral Act Amendment Bill improve or worsen elections? That's the question we're asking on the show today. Don't go away.
Welcome back to your number one talk news and sports station. This is Nigeria Info. Nigeria.
It's 5:30. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. You're listening to Hard Facts on 99.3 Nigeria Info. The co-founder of Yaga Africa is on the show with me today, Cynthia Mbamalo. She's also the program manager at Yaga Africa. Will the current Electoral Act Amendment Bill improve or worsen elections? We're talking about electoral reform today because the National Assembly right now is considering a bill to amend the Electoral Act. If you want better election rules, one of the first places to look at is the Electoral Act. But this latest attempt to amend the Act says something in particular that has caused quite a lot of ruffled feathers. The committee in the Senate looking over the amendment of this Act came out and said they do not want electronic transmission of results. Now, like I said when we started, this bill is very important. If you want governance, if you want better governance, you need elected officials who feel that they are accountable to you. And the only way to get accountable officials is through free and fair elections and credible elections where people can say, okay, we like you, stay. We don't like you, get your behind out of this office. And the only way to get free and fair elections is reform. You know, you have to reform the process by fixing INEC and the other stakeholders. And the first place is the Electoral Act. And if Cynthia and other stakeholders like Cynthia have said that you cannot do this thing and then say, oh, yes, we like some parts of the electronic process, but we're not cool with this electronic transmission of a thing. Cynthia, the Southern governors have come out to oppose the removal of electronic transmission. And the PDP caucus in the National Assembly has also condemned it. Do you believe that there'll be enough votes to make sure that electronic transmission is permitted in the Electoral Act?
That's a tricky one, because if you follow, when it comes to lawmaking, and you can't always predict how the outcome would be. Mm. However, a lot of citizens who have, in the past week, called their lawmakers, sent text, need to continue that. Interesting, it's not just Southern nationally. Hmm. Nigerians from the North, Nigerians from the South, going out, making calls and making demands on their lawmakers. Hmm. Now, one of the pushing and making demands from the National Assembly is votes on contentious issues. For instance, if electronic transmission of results is contentious, we don't want voice votes because we want a record of these votes so that we would know those who voted against it, mm-hmm. against their elections. Mm-hmm. Like, honestly, we need to have those data so that elections we would ensure would work across the country, that anyone important provisions like the transmission of would not win their elections. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that is how we can assert our power as citizens. Mm. So we're hoping that it's not just going to be about boys actually vote on these issues clause by clause, deliberately, in a transparent manner. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, usually there's a goal of North as a sector not care about progressive things. Dynamism within the Northern cohort or the cohort of Northern legislators. Even within that cohort, there may be some individuals who do not the process the transmission of results to be done electronically, mm-hmm. but there's a large percentage who believe and support this proposal. So I'm hopeful those voices speaking up. Mm-hmm. I know one of the arguments that we've heard in the past thing about citizens across the board do not want this, and I think that there is a report by the International Foundation on Electoral it was released in 2019 on actually finding this want the deployment of electronic transmission of results. Mm. In the Northwest, only 6% said they did not feel confident. You can imagine that 94%.
Mm-hmm.
Actually felt confident, mm-hmm. or felt somewhat confident, mm-hmm. in transmission. Mm-hmm. In the North, it's only 7% said they were not confident. If you in the Southwest and South, okay, East, about 12% said they were not confident, and in South, about 12%. You see that you had
so, so we had even more people in the South that are not confident with electronic transmission than we had in the, yes. in the North.
You know, I was going to the report that I'm like, oh, interesting.
Yeah, well,
and
those are
the kinds of out there. Mm. Like, you have individuals across
board who don't think it's a good idea, but you have way more people who think it's a good idea than who don't.
Yes, you have people way more than those who don't. The other thing was conversation around technology, and we don't have a mobile network penetration. And we're like, no. Even has released, they released updates on active across the country, mm-hmm. and even connected mobile lines across the country. Last time I was checking, I think over 190 million lines were active in 2021. Mm. I was looking at the reports, and connected lines were about 200 and something million, actually. Mm. But I know some people would have more than one network.
Multiple lines,
multiple lines, you know. In a country projected to have about 200 million, I mean, we may not be up to only... This is a high percentage of citizens.
Of connectivity.
Once we have a mobile network across the country, mm-hmm. it means leverage technology to deploy to
transmit.
That argument mm-hmm. doesn't even... to transmit. For in 2019, we deployed observers in every local government, mm-hmm. and we had over 3,000 observers mm-hmm. deployed government. Mm-hmm. And in most of them, some of them in hard-to-reach areas. Mm-hmm. And at 10 by 10 a.m., we had received reports from our observers using their phones, mm-hmm. but they sent in reports via SMS. Mm-hmm. 10% of our observers from the location.
Mm-hmm. So that reason just doesn't hold water, huh?
Yes, it doesn't hold water because we have in the reasonable infrastructure that can support electricity. And we have instances where people can even move from one. Let's say your location, there's no
network. Move to another one.
I mean, it is in every... You can have access to G anywhere you go to.
But if we're telling people to move from one location to the next, are we not opening them up to say, I don't know, getting...
No, not move to location. When I'm saying move, it's like you're going to be... Like sometimes you make calls in your office. Mm. You're just moving like one step, 1 foot.
Like climb a tree, that kind of thing.
Yes, it's not like you're traveling from, you know... Uh-huh. The voters are moving and doing okay. Mm. But... is actually something that can be achieved. Mm. And like I said, it worked in Edo and Ondo. Mm-hmm. And why Ondo has a difficult terrain? If you
unfortunately, the internet isn't being very...
Can you hear me?
But your internet continues to come in and out, unfortunately. So it's
okay.
So maybe you need to move around in your office.
Yeah, you see what we're talking about. Is it better now?
Well, we're hearing you now, but it just continues to break. Well, just go ahead.
Should I turn a video for you?
Yes. Yes, let's see if that will help. Yes. Let's try that.
Okay, that will work.
Yeah.
So we had from LGAs like where you have the riverine areas and very difficult areas. Mm-hmm. Also, from the polling unit, we uploaded.
Okay, so I think the quality of the network in general has just dropped, but that's my cue to pivot to the phone lines because I'm sure that people have questions, right? Until hopefully Cynthia's internet picks up. We are streaming this conversation live. Cynthia is joining us via
Zoom. On election day, so we can... Can you still hear?
And we are live on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. We're also live on YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. Our number is 0700-993-993-993 for men. For women, 01465-7190. Hello, how are you? Sorry about that. Call back if you can. 99.3. Sorry about that. Call back if you can. We've got WhatsApp as well. WhatsApp is 080-959-75805. 080-959-75805. Let's take a look at some of the messages we've gotten so far. Well, you're sending this message to the wrong person. All right, here's someone who says, some people in Nigeria, some people born in Nigeria like 20 or 30 years ago do not know what regular or constant electricity is all about. I don't know what that is about. I don't think it's what we're talking about on the show, but hey, thank you for sending your message in. Evance is in Yaba. He's a first-time caller. Hi, Evance.
Fine. I'm very, very good.
Welcome. Go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I listened to your guest very well. Mm-hmm. Good answers from her.
Mm.
It seems that our lawmakers, they don't seem to understand the importance of that electronic transmission of results. What happened to in Edo and Odo State save us from war? Because those two states, assuming they did not do that electronic transmission, I don't know what could have been the outcome of the result. Since we have done it, we have tried it, and it worked for us. Don't you think that will give we voters the confidence that our vote will count? So that in 2027, we will all come out. You see, that like I guess is that telling you that the reception on the internet voters' cards is low.
Mm.
It's because of they are not encouraging us. The block lawmakers drop that information. They didn't demoralize our youth, because we hope that that is the only way that we can make a good replacement by 2023. So by removing that side of electronic transmission of results, that will not go well in our mind. So I pray that this our as our southern governors now, they have agreed that they are not accepting the removal of that transmission. They should carry along their lawmakers, call them meeting, sit with them, discuss with them, so that when they go to their house, they will know what we discuss there, so that we will be successful in getting what we want, so that 2023 election will be free and fair, so that we will get what we want. Thank you, Sandra.
Thank you very much. We've got Martin on the line. Martin is in Anthony. Hi, Martin.
Hi, Sandra. Good afternoon.
Good evening. Good afternoon.
Good evening, whichever.
Yeah.
Was there a reason given for not wanting the electronic transmission?
Well, they said that there's no network in some parts of Nigeria. So that was...
What your interview, the person you are interviewing is saying is that it does not hold water. That's not a good reason. If one side does not have network, what happens to the sites that have network? So it's a balance. We are not saying that you throw away the electronic. What is, we harmonize everything together.
Mm.
That's the means of manipulating results.
Mm.
Because when I was serving, I actually was an INEC. I was an ad hoc staff for INEC when I did the election service in Anambra State.
Okay.
Where I served.
Okay.
You know. So the way the system is, I think electronic this thing should be a welcome development. They shouldn't have not just throw away everything. I don't know the kind of leaders that we have. Are they backward or they are thinking ahead? Well, thank you, Sandra.
Thank you very much, Martin, for calling. Cynthia, I think we have you back on the line now. Yes?
Yes,
we do. Okay, let's hope the network behaves.
It's been raining all day in Abuja.
Oh, so. Yeah. Whenever it rains, your internet just goes kaput. Now, one of the callers I remember was asking if Nigerians in diaspora will be allowed to vote this time around. Do you think they will be?
No, because it wasn't one of the proposals adopted in the first in the bill. So what is actually interesting is that post the retreat in February, we were still advocating for more reviews to the bill before it is presented, before they sidetracked us with this manipulation in the bill. And one of Yes, one of that was actually still pushing for diaspora voting because it was not at it was presented at the public hearings, but it didn't make it into the bill. And some of the argument they had put forward was that Nigeria wasn't ready. Mm. But we're always like, why not test it first? You don't need to. You can test with some countries. You don't need to test with all
the countries.
You can start somewhere and then we can progress from that. Mm. But it didn't make it in. However, the only semblance of an opportunity for for citizens in diaspora to vote, mm-hmm. it will still require them to come back. But what that means is with the online process, they can register, commence the registration online, get a date, mm-hmm. just that it's going to cost you, mm-hmm. and then come back later, do your biometric capture, mm-hmm. and you can always come back during elections to vote. But what matters is that you're registered as a voter, mm-hmm. and you have a location in Nigeria that you can vote. We will keep pushing.
And hopefully it happens. By the way, the next 15 minutes of Hard Facts is brought to you by UNICAF. UNICAF is the leading online higher education provider. I mean, they don't need you to be in any of the countries abroad to get your degrees, whether it's a master's degree you're going for or an MBA or a BSc. They don't need you to be in those countries. You know, they are all for online. They're in the future. Huh? And they're bringing you the next 15 minutes of Hard Facts. Thank you so much to our partners, UNICAF. Now, going beyond electronic transmission, Cynthia, what other changes in this bill do you think Lagos should know about? What other changes is this bill proposing that Lagos should know about?
And Sandra, very important. The power of the returning officer. You know, one of the proposals that we were happy made it in, mm-hmm. was to give INEC the power to review results that are declared, that were not declared voluntarily, mm-hmm. or that were not declared in line with electoral laws and guidelines.
Okay.
So INEC will have power within 7 days to review those reports, mm-hmm. those results, before candidates can go to court. Now, this is an important provision because before, what we have in our electoral act currently, mm-hmm. It gives the returning officer the power to declare results, and whatever the returning officer declares is final. Only the courts can overturn it. So if you're not satisfied with what is declared by a returning officer, you can only go to court to challenge it.
Okay.
Now, we had a situation in 2019, if you remember, Imo, mm-hmm. Notorious for that, the returning officer actually announced that I'm declaring this under duress. And yet, that result, the declaration was done. The law saw it as being done validly. Mm. And when they went to court, the individual still moved on with the court ruled in his favor. Now that is not the only instance. The instance is where people manipulate the process. They declared the result because they either been bought or someone is trying to make their ways out of that. And then most times when you go to court, you can't actually predict the outcome. Some cases are thrown out on grounds of technicalities, right? And you don't even know how.
Okay. All right. So while we have her off, I'm going to play a message from our sponsors, UNICAF. And when she comes back, she'll keep talking to us.
Back?
Oh, yes, you're back.
Yes.
But back? Yes, you are. But I'm going to tell you to pause a bit. Let's hear a bit from our sponsors. We'll come back to you as quickly as possible.
Are you ready to invest in your future? Explore endless opportunities with the exclusive UNICAF scholarship program. Choose from a wide range of master's degrees from prestigious British universities. Study online. Balance education with family and career growth. Extra benefit, a customized payment plan to make it even easier for you. Call us on 07000-111-000. That is 07000-111-000 to help you jumpstart today with UNICAF. You can.
Thank you, UNICAF, for bringing these 15 minutes of Hard Facts, the big Hard Facts specifically to the listener. So, yes, you were talking to me, Cynthia, about, returning officer.
Returning officer power. And what happened in 2019 and previous elections, we understood that we need to review that particular section. We can't have a returning officer
with all that power.
With all that power, we need a level of review, okay. which was introduced, and all of a sudden we're part of the reviews done this past week was actually removing that power of INEC to review results as had been proposed at the committee level. And what we saw was it just left it the same way. So internal officer declared it final. You can only go to the court to challenge the result. And that for us is a major threat to our democracy, because we've seen how politicians want to win at all costs at the electoral process, because they believe that let's go to court, right? We can fight it out in court, and you know that our judicial system is still not, we can't guarantee the independence of our judiciary. And there's a lot of, the court is playing a lot of, there's a lot of interference by the courts now, seeing our electoral process. So a lot of things decided in the courts, and we can't afford to have the next elections be conducted in such a way. So that was one major issue, and that is one major issue we're also pushing for. And we want the lawmakers to reverse and ensure that we have that power of INEC to review results, especially when it's not declared voluntarily. And when people's lives are threatened, they have to just declare because their lives are under threat. Or when it's not declared in line with the electoral laws and guidelines. I think the other issue is campaign finance limits. Part of the proposals before, the electoral law had 1 billion naira for the limits on campaign finance for the president. The review process, there was a proposal to increase that. And the final decision was to leave it at 5 billion. So presidential candidates wouldn't spend beyond 5 billion naira in their campaigns, which we even felt was still a lot. But we're, okay, this is a compromise position. Now we're seeing this bill and we're seeing 15 billion naira.
So it's almost like all of the conversation that you had with the stakeholders from the National Assembly was just ignored, and they just did whatever the hell they wanted to do.
Well, I mean, the House claims that what the version they have is still the version that we know of, that this is something they don't know about. The Senate is where we... So it seems like after all of this deliberation and what we thought was a bill to be presented, some senators went behind and did these reviews.
Do we know which senators?
Like all the work that...
Do we know which senators?
Unfortunately, none of them... No, we can't say. All I can say is the committee. We need to look at the committee, because the committee had the responsibility, that the Senate Committee on INEC and Electoral Matters, they had the responsibility to present the bill to the Senate for third reading. And the bill, for all intents and purposes, is still within their custody. So whatever happened may have happened at that point, because it had not been presented to the Senate for third reading. So we may not have an idea of who or where this happened,
but
what is important is that we got wind of that, and we wouldn't sleep until we ensure that the version presented is actually the version that Nigerians were hoping for. It was not even a perfect deal, but we were like, at least some wins, you know, small wins we can celebrate. And now they're just trying to do away with them.
I should remind you again, Lagos, that the next 15 minutes are sponsored by UNICAF. Their mission is to positively contribute to the educational and economic development of the local community that they serve by increasing access to quality higher education. So they have a scholarship program that has awarded more than $100 million worth of scholarships. Tell us more about these scholarships.
Yeah, so the scholarship is specifically geared towards people who wish to do their MBA, and especially those who want to jumpstart or probably start a career in senior management or business consultancy, or probably want to build their own business. And what UNICAF is doing is we're offering to them 300 scholarships, like 300 MBA scholarships, to help them jumpstart their career, both as an entrepreneur or also to start their career as senior managers or even business consultants. And it's a partially funded scholarship. And UNICAF, in doing this, we have partnered with top universities across the world, including top British universities such as University of East London, University of Suffolk. And we are working alongside renowned instructors and professors who will not only guide you through the process of getting your MBA, but will also guide you through the various principles that will help you jumpstart your career as a manager, as a senior manager, as a business consultancy expert in this world, in the kind of world we are in right now. And to do this, to assess all these benefits that UNICAF is bringing to you today, you can do that by talking to any of our UNICAF student advisors by calling 07000-111-000. I'm going to take that again. That is 07000-111-000. Or yeah, you can also send us a WhatsApp message on 0816-866-4442. That is 0816-866-4442.
What I like about the benefit of using UNICAF is the flexibility to study at your pace. And
exactly.
you mentioned sometime in the past that they have a special payment plan, yes?
Yes. So it's a partially funded scholarship, and we give all our members, all those who wish to work with UNICAF, we give you the ability to choose a payment plan that works specifically to you.
For your budget.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right.
And all this from the comfort of your home. I mean, it's an online scholarship, so you don't need to travel anywhere to do it, just from your...
What's that number again that people need to call, or the WhatsApp number?
Okay, that is 07000-111-000. That is 07000-111-000. Or you can send us a WhatsApp message on 0816-866-4442.
Okay, thank you very much. Like I said, Lagos, we've got Cynthia Mbamalu on the show with us. She's a co-founder at Yaga. Cynthia, my listeners have heard from you, right? Let's say that they feel strongly about the contents of this bill. You've given us a few alarming things that are contained in this bill. And these people who are listening to us want to make their voices heard, but they also want to influence the process and the contents of the bill. What should they do? How can they do it?
I think the easiest thing we can do now is to call our lawmakers. I remember last week the Senate president was actually complaining that a lot of Nigerians were calling him rather than calling their lawmakers, and that he has only one vote. And I'm like, well, your Senate president, you should be able to get and take as many calls as possible. Citizens should call you. So I think that has been quite effective because we've gotten a lot of lawmakers reaching out to us and saying, oh, why are you asking people to call us and blackmail us?
How do people get their numbers? How can people get their numbers? Is there an app where they can find their numbers? Is there a website?
So you can go, shine your eyes. I'm trying to read out. There are two platforms. There's a www.shineyoureye.org.
Okay.
If you go on the website, it has like a database of numbers for lawmakers that you can call. There's also the www.bit.ly/call-nas-on-electoral-reform.
I like
and
that.
I think that
Amo, you people there, you Gen Z, millennials, people just get. Which one is? Call that one again. www.bit.ly/call-your-lawmakers.
Call NAS. Yes.
As in call NASS.
On electoral reform.
Call NAS on electoral reform. So once you click on that, once you type that link in, it shows you their numbers and you can call your own.
Yes. Yes. So and then you have to go to your state because you need to know. I'm hoping people know who their
representatives
are.
Your
representatives. Mm-hmm. So be it the House of Reps member, the senator, and you call them and ask them to vote in support of electoral transition of results, to vote in support of INEC power to review results declared under duress, and also to vote in support of reduced costs for campaign finance. And what we're saying is the most that should be charged, that should be the limit for the president, should be $5 billion. And as you go forward, lower down, the